Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Amen. I want to preach today in the form of a question for my title. How deep do you want to go? How deep do you want to go? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you right now. I'm asking God that you would speak to us today through your word. Help us, Lord. We know that you're in this house. We feel your presence. From the very beginning, God, we've understood that you're in this place. I'm asking God that you would touch us today. I pray that you would give me the anointing, God. I ask that you give me grace today to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Touch our minds to understand what your word is saying today. Our hearts to receive it, our ears to hear it, God. Help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, God, for this privilege and opportunity. Let the word of God help us and change us today. Oh, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you honor. We give you praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I understand that in the summertime, and we've just come through, one of the hottest spells of the year. Amen. We had to make a quick trip back to our home base of Tulsa, and this week, and I believe yesterday it was saying it was 100 degrees and the heat index 108, and I just didn't get outside much. Praise God, not as much as I could help it. Praise God, amen. I think I'm allergic to the heat. I turn red, and I break out in a sweat. And does all kinds of things to me. So, but summertime is a time that most kids, and I remember as a child, one of the most favorite things to do was to get in the water. Many memories of getting in the water. And we lived in town for the first 7 years of my life, so the way of getting in the water was getting that hose and turning it on. And we had all kinds of ingenious ideas. We tried to stick it up over the highline wire so we could have us a shower out there and stand under it. Amen. All kinds of smart ideas that we had. But we enjoyed that, to get into that cool, refreshing water. And amen. I remember a few times as very young, we would go to it was actually a spring, and it flowed over and had a couple of nice deep holes of water, crystal clear. You could see to the bottom. It was ice cold. And I thought my dad was going to drown me there a few times. He wasn't trying to teach me how to swim. But when you don't want them feet coming up and that head going down. But that's how you got to learn how to swim. Felt like my head was going to go down under, and he wasn't going to do that to me. But those old memories of getting in the water and You know, but since learning how to swim, amen, I'm not one to want to just dabble my toes in the edge and wade around a little bit in ankle-deep water. You know, it's not too fun to me, man, just to play around. We've went to the Gulf a few times and seen the Atlantic, and I've seen the Pacific. My children have not, but we was in a place in Texas, and they're on the beach. I was proven wrong because they have swamp right there, and then there's the seawall and the ocean, and there's gators all out in that swamp. And so we got there, and we let the kids play all in there, you know, got out in the edge of the ocean in the Gulf and play, and then we cleaned up and changed clothes and went and ate and came back for the evening. And my wife was saying, she's scared of gators. She grew up in Louisiana, and she's terrified of gators. And I grew up in Oklahoma, and I'm not terrified of them, but I have a healthy respect for them. And so we get there, and she's talking about them gators probably being out. I said, them gators don't get in the ocean. That's salt water. And so we drive up that evening and start driving down the beach, and lo and behold, there's a big old gator right there in the edge of the Gulf. And so we didn't get back in that water, and the kids wanted to, but I let them dabble their toes in the edge while I stood guard and watched very close right there. And they wanted to get in so bad. They was begging me, Dad, please, can we go back out? I said, no, we just seen that gator, and your mother is definitely not going to allow that. And we wanted them to be safe. But it's just not fun just dabbling around in the edge. When there's so much to get in, when there's, amen, waters to swim in. To me, it's not the way I get in. I don't just step in a little bit at a time. That's murder on me. I dive in head first. I jump off the bank or whatever. I'm just going to go ahead and get submerged right now and get that shock over with so I can have a good time. But I've seen people that do that. You know, they stand there, and they dabble around in the shallows for it seems like forever. And then, no. Hey, man, how many of y'all have ever seen anybody get on the diving board and do that? Oh, I'm gonna go now. That's how you get in. Amen. How many at the river and you get up on the swing, way up on the bank, and you swing out and you swing back? No, I can't. And you swing till you have to drop because you're stuck out there because you was afraid to let go. Or a run to the edge and one of my favorite memories about my younger brother was at our pond. We swam in our pond. My dad dug our pond and we swam in it for the first few years till it got too fishy and quit swimming in it. We weren't swimming, and he's on this big rock on the edge, and he was reaching out for something, and I just gave him a little nudge. And it was the most extended fall I've ever seen in my life as he windmilled forever, and then finally, he didn't appreciate that very much. It was me getting him back for all those things he had done to me, so amen. But there's just something about getting out there and everybody else is having fun and that one is on the edge just afraid to get in. Especially if you can't swim. There's a fear of getting in over your head. My parents have an above ground swimming pool and just yesterday and day before kids were swimming in it. And my boys are not in here right now. Amen. They're learning how to swim, but there's that fear of getting into the middle where they can't. And my son will run and jump and about stick his feet through the bottom of that pool because he lands. But he wants to run and jump, but he don't want to land where that's maybe a little bit because there's that fear. I can't touch bottom. I'm going to drown. It's too deep for me. And the Bible says, the man of God said that he saw the waters coming out. And then there was a man with a line in his hand that began to lead him out. And he led him out, and he said the waters were to the ankles. Not a big deal. Waters are to the ankles. We're just splashing around in there. And you know, that's as far as some people want to go, living for God. Amen. I want to typify this, and this is how I'm going to use it. These waters are, amen, referring to a river of living waters, or, amen, the river of life. If you read on in the chapter, it talks about how the waters are for the healing. Amen. And everything it touches, it heals. And the trees that grow along the banks give fruit, and they continuously give fruit. Amen. And there's such a blessing that comes with these waters. And everybody that fishes along these waters it's the best fishing day they've ever had. Amen. Because it produces so much. And so this is referring to these living waters. And can I just simplify it down to its most simplest form today and just say that it's God? Oh, hallelujah. It comes from God. It's God. It's, amen, the things of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's, amen, the moving of the Spirit of God. This river that the prophet is talking about. And he said, we was out there 1,000 cubits. He led me out and the waters were to the ankles. But he didn't stop there, praise the Lord. Some folks just want enough of God that, amen, it maybe eases their conscience. Or, amen, they feel enough that they understand that this is God. This is the Spirit of God. But there is something in the spirit of man that does not want to lose control. There's something in every one of us. It's a natural thing that happens. We like to be in charge. We like to be in control of ourselves. And, amen, we hate to give up. We hate to surrender, amen, that position. We can't stand to, amen, not know what's happening and not be in control. And it's hard for us to give up, amen, that control. And so some just wade into the edge of the things of God, and that's enough for them. I'm happy right here, praise God. I'm still in control. I'm still in charge. I can feel it. It's swirling around my ankles, but that's enough for me. But he said, the man with the line in his hand did not stop there, but he kept leading me. Praise God. I'm telling you, walking with God, if you'll let him, God will lead you into places, amen, that you've never been before, and experience things that you've never experienced before. Amen. I don't want to stop in the shallows. I don't want to just stand in the shallows wading around, amen, dilly-dallying around and fiddling around in the shadows of the things of God. But he said, the man with the line led me on. And, amen, there was something in this, amen, prophet of God that said, I want to go further, or he wouldn't have went further. Hallelujah. I don't believe the man with the line in his hand drug him out there. I don't believe he forced him against his will to come, but there was something in the spirit of this prophet that said, if you're going to lead me, I'll go with you, amen, and go a little bit further. So he said, we went another 1,000, amen, and the waters were to the knees, praise God. Amen. This feels a little bit better. The waters are to the knees. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there's still something about that I'm still in control here. I can walk on my own 2 feet. I can touch bottom. Amen. But he said he didn't stop there. He kept on leading me. Amen. Some people will choose to stop at knee-deep experience with God. And a knee-deep relationship with God. I can still see the bank, and I can walk there on my own. I can still see the past, and if I want to, I can run back to where I came from. Amen. Just a knee-deep experience. But Ezekiel said, no, I didn't stop at a knee-deep experience. But he kept leading me, and he just kept on going. And so I said, I'm going to go. And we went until the waters were to the loins or to the waist. And I'm standing ocean and out there in the river. Amen, this river of life in waist-deep waters, and I'm starting to feel the effects of it. It's getting a little cooler down there now. Amen, the bottom feels a little bit different. Some things are starting to change. I'm starting to experience some things that I haven't experienced before. It's a little bit different than it was back in the knee-deep. It's a little bit different than it was back in the shallows. Amen. Thank God for every experience that we have with God. Thank God for the shallow experience that leads us further. Thank God for the ankle-deep experience that, amen, got us into the river in the first place. Thank God for the knee-deep experience that we experience, amen. And thank God for the waist-deep experience. But he said, he didn't end there. He said, oh, no, we don't have to stop here. There's some more that I've got for you if you'll just let me lead you there. If you'll just let me take you there. There's another depth that we can go. And he said he led me on further, another 1,000. And amen, he said the waters, amen, were too deep that I couldn't touch bottom anymore. It became a river of waters that I could not pass over. It was too big for me. I couldn't get to the bottom and I couldn't get to the other side. It was a river, amen, that I was no longer in control of. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. If you're satisfied this morning in an ankle-deep relationship and experience with God, amen, I guess I could say I feel sorry for you. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God for it. But, amen, there's no need to stop in the shallows of, amen, the blessings and the favor and the things of God. There is a river beyond the shallows that God has for you and I. He wants to take you to some places and some depths, amen, where you can experience the fullness of God and his power and his blessings and, amen, his moving of his spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But I don't want to lose control. I'm telling you, amen, you need to let go and let God take you. You need to give up and let Jesus take over. You need to give up your control and get out in the water that you cannot touch bottom anymore. And let the river carry you where the river wants to take you. Oh, hallelujah. As long as you're in the shallows, you're in control of your destiny. As long as you're in the knee-deep and the waist-deep waters, you're in charge of where you go. Oh, hallelujah. But when you get out in the middle of a raging river, when you get out in the middle of a moving river, amen, the river starts taking you where the river wants you to go. My, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I said the river, when you can't touch bottom anymore, amen, and that water and that current is moving, it starts taking you where it wants you to go. But oh, in our carnal nature, in our humanity, amen, we're afraid of the unknown, and we're afraid of when we can't touch bottom anymore. But there comes faith. It has to be by faith. We preached about that, I believe, on Wednesday night. It takes faith to live for God. It takes faith, amen, to be what God wants you to be. It takes trust in God to say, God, I'm going to step out of this waist-deep experience into the depths that I can no longer touch bottom, and it's going to have to be you that carries me from now on. I'm not going to be in control anymore. Oh, hallelujah. You see, you can't even get the Holy Ghost without giving up and letting the Holy Ghost come in. You can't even speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance until you step out of the shallow, hallelujah, into that place where you give up and the Holy Ghost begins to speak through you and you're no longer in charge. But James said, amen, the tongue that no man can tame. When you give up, the Holy Ghost takes over. Ooh, and the Holy Ghost tames that tongue.
Oh, my. I've seen so many people get the Holy Ghost and people that don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. But, amen, their tongue starts getting thick and they don't understand what's going on. They're just trying to pray and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost takes over and they don't even sometimes understand what's happening. But they're speaking in another language, something they've never learned before. You know why? Because they've totally surrendered to the river. They've totally surrendered to the power of God and to the moving of His Spirit. They've decided to step out. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today with everything I've got in me. Step out of the ankle-deep water today. Step out of the knee-deep or the waist-deep water today. Quit waiting around and get into the river and let the river take control of your life. Let the river carry you where the river wants you to go. Hallelujah. It's no fun wading in the shallows when it's hot and you're dry. Amen. And you're burning up. Amen. Hallelujah. My. Oh, my. And you see people diving in and you see people jumping in and getting submerged in the water. It's not fun watching from the bank with your toes dabbled in the edge. Amen, when you're watching people enjoying, amen, the depth that they enjoy and feeling what they feel. Amen, you know the shallows are still pretty warm. The shallows are still pretty tepid sometimes. Oh, but oh, the further you get out into the water, the further you get out into the river, there's a current. There's a current that's flowing. Oh, hallelujah. There's good things happening out in the river. Hallelujah. Jesus said, amen, to the woman, amen, at the well in Samaria in John chapter number 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you just knew what God has for you, if you just understood this gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Hallelujah. There's some living water to partake of. There is a river. There is a river. And the depths are unsearchable. Nobody's ever gotten to the bottom of this river. Nobody's ever reached the other side of this river. It's deep and it's wide. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no end to it. There is, oh, hallelujah. Unsearchable are the things of God and the ways of God. They're past finding out. You can never reach the end of God. You can never reach the full depths of, but I'm telling you, amen, it ought to put in us a desire and a hunger to say, God, I want to go deeper than I've ever gone before. God, I want to go further out in the river than I've ever gone before. Don't let me stay in the shallows of a relationship with you. Don't let me stay in a knee-deep experience with you. Let me get out where I can no longer touch bottom. Let me get out to where your spirit is in control of what happens to me. How deep do you want to go today? Oh, how deep do you want to go today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's far too many that has a shallow experience with God. Oh, there's far too many that just has a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night experience with God. And the rest of the week, amen, there's not much to it. Praise God. There's far too many that just pray and read the Bible. Amen, when they come into the doors of the sanctuary. Amen, when the preacher's preaching. And when everybody else is praying and praising God. But oh, there's more to it than that. You can step out of the ankle-deep experience and get into a place where on Monday morning, when you're on your way to work, you can start praying and you can start talking to God, and the Holy Ghost can come into your car and you can begin to speak in other tongues and feel the presence of God, and the tears can flow. Hey, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, amen, where you're at, what you're doing. You can step into the river and let God take over and let God take control. There's a relationship with God that goes beyond the knee deep. It goes beyond the waist deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about a river. I'm talking about a river that you cannot cross over. I'm talking about an experience with God that you wake up in the middle of the night and you feel something stirring on you, and you don't just go back to sleep, but you fall out of bed. You roll out of bed and you go to the living room and you start talking to God, and God begins to move on you, and you get lost in the Spirit, and God does things in your life you never dreamed could happen because you let God take over and you let the river take control. How deep do you want to go? Oh, hallelujah. There's some here today that you want to go. You want to dive in, but there's fears holding you back. Oh, hallelujah. I feel God what I'm saying right now. Oh, hallelujah. There's some here today that you see others, amen, jumping in and going below the surface. And you look and you say, oh, that looks so wonderful. I imagine that feels so great. I bet that feels so good. But you're sitting in the shallows, amen, just splashing around because you're too fearful of what that's going to do and what it's going to be like. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My, my, my. Amen. I've jumped in before, and it was so deep I didn't touch bottom no matter how far I went down. And I had to come back up. Amen. And there's always that element of excitement or anxiety or suspense that says, whoo, I wonder how deep that was. I'm telling you today, amen, you can go as far as you want to go and never reach the end of God's river. Never reach the end of a relationship with God. That's why our elders say, amen, in the golden years of their life, and they say, I want to do more for God. I want to go somewhere in God. And we look at them and say, they've been so many places and done so many things. But the older they get, the more they hunger and desire and say, oh, there's a depth that I want to go. I remember a good old elder getting up and saying, I want to know him. I just want to know God. Oh, I'm telling you, hallelujah, there's a depth in God that ought to draw us. There's a depth in the Spirit that ought to pull us like a magnet out of the shallows, out of the waist deep, and say, come into the river. Come into the river and let God's Spirit take over, and let God move you, and let God take you where God wants to take you. Amen. Let go of your destiny. You got to let go. Hallelujah. Whew. If you want the river, amen, to take you, God wants you to go. How deep do you want to go this morning? John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Woo, hallelujah. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, my, my. Rivers of living water. These rivers that prophet Ezekiel was talking about, that he led me out in. Hallelujah. And there's healing for the waters, and there's healing for the nations, and there's healing for the people, and there's abundance of the blessings of God. And oh, I'm telling you, everything that touches the water gets healed, and everything that experiences the flow of this river gets changed. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I can just imagine Ezekiel, amen, when he come back to the shore, the Bible says, I can just imagine that he was a changed man. Amen. And I can imagine he started saying, there's a place. Amen. He led me out there, but I don't want to stay here. I want to go back. I want to go back out there. He showed me a glimpse. He showed me a glimpse of what there was. He showed me, oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. A little touch of Holy Ghost ought not to satisfy you. It ought to make you hungry for so much more. A little talking in tongues ought not make you satisfied, and I'm good now, but it ought to make you hungry for more of God, for a better experience and a deeper relationship with God. Oh, there's something about the river. There's just something about the river. Take me back. Take me out there. I want to go. I want to go till my feet lift off the bottom and I'm floating in the river. Hallelujah. And letting the river take me where the river will go. Praise God. You're going to have trust in God. You're going to have faith in God this morning that God knows best and that God's going to do good for you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's not wanting to do it because you're fearful of the unknown. You're fearful of not being able to touch bottom anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. How deep do you want to go this morning? 2 Kings 2, I'm not going to read it all, but 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15 tells us of, amen, the end of Elijah's life here on earth. And his minister or his helper, Elisha, that followed him everywhere he went, was with him. And I don't know how it happened, but they all knew that Elijah was going to be taken that day. I don't know if God had given them insight or spoke to them, or I'm not sure how it happened. Maybe somebody else knows, but they all had that realization and they understood that today is the day that Elijah is going to be taken from us. And Elijah and Elisha are there at Gilgal. Now you got to understand these places in the Word of God. Amen. Most every one of them had significance for some reason or another. And Gilgal is the place, if you'll remember, where the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into Canaan land for the first time. And God said, take 12 stones out of the riverbed and put them up on the bank for a memorial so that you remember and that so you can tell your children that didn't even ever experience this what this means. I believe we ought to make memorials, hallelujah, to the things of God. There's memorials in my life that I can look back on and remember. I told you the other night about remembering where I was and what it felt like and the people around me when I received the Holy Ghost that night as a six-year-old child. That's a memorial in my life. There's a pile of stones there that I look back on, and I tell my children about it. I want them to understand what it is. Oh, it wasn't just another night and we had a good service. No, 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 no. That was a memorial place in God. And God said to do it, and he said, take 12 stones off of the bank and put them in the middle of the river. And so that's what Gilgal was. That's where God shut off the river. And they walked on dry ground into Canaan land. God led them across that flooded river on dry ground through the middle of the riverbed. And they're at Gilgal. And Elijah said, hey, I want you to stay here because God has led me on a man to Bethel. This is where God wants me to go, so I want you to stay here. God's leading me further. And Elisha said, oh, no, no, no. I don't believe he did it disrespectfully because Elijah was his pastor or his man of God. But he said, hey, I want to go with you. If God's telling you to go further, let me go with you. There was a hunger in Elisha's spirit that just said, I want to be with you. I want to go with you wherever God's taking you. I don't want to stay here. I want. There was a hunger in him that said, just let me go deeper. Let me go further. Don't make me stay here at Gilgal. Amen. I'm going to tell you, too many people stay stuck, amen, in past experiences. That's not the will of God. It's the will of God for us to build memorials and remember that we can look back to them and thank God and have a testimony about it. But it's not the will of God for you to stay stuck there in the past, in a past relationship.
in a past experience with God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. This is where God did this, and this is just where I'm going to stay the rest of my life in this place in God. No, 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 no. He said, oh, if God's taking you further from Gilgal and he's leading you on to Bethel, that's where I want to go. And so he allowed him to come, and he came to Bethel with him. Now, Bethel, you got to understand, is the place, amen, where long ago Jacob, the son of Isaac, amen, was running from his brother Esau. He was fearful for his life. Amen. He had done wrong, and he had deceived his brother. He had taken his birthright and his blessing, and now he's running, amen, for his life. And he lays down at this place that he's never been before, and he took a rock and he laid it there for his pillow. And while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And in that dream, there was a ladder coming out of heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Amen. And he woke up and the hair on the back of his neck was standing up. And he said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. He didn't even understand where he was and what was happening. But from that moment forward, he did. He said, oh, this is a special place. This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And he named the place Bethel, which it means the house of God. And he took that rock that he had laid on for a pillow, and he set it up as a memorial, as a pillar. And he poured oil on it, and he made vows to God. And he said, God, I'm going to pay my tithes from this point on. God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Amen. He made some consecrations to God. What a wonderful place. And you always find the children of God coming back to Bethel and revisiting Bethel. Oh, praise God. Bethel was a special place where God had done some great things. And they are there. Elijah and Elisha are there at Bethel. They've come from Gilgal to Bethel. And now they're there. And Elijah turned to him and said, all right, son, I want you to stay here at Bethel because God has led me further. He wants me to go on. Amen. He wants me to go on. Amen. To praise God. Let me find it. I believe it is Jericho. Amen. From Bethel. Amen. He said, God wants me to go on to Jericho. I probably don't even have to tell you what happened at Jericho, but I will anyway. Jericho is the first city that after the children of Israel crossed into Canaan land, the walls were high and thick and big. And they didn't know how they was going to overcome the city of Jericho. And God told Joshua, I want you to march around and just be quiet for 6 days. March around the walls one time for 6 days, once each day. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times. And when you get through with that seventh time around, I want you to blow the trumpets and shout. Praise God. Jericho. Whew. And that seventh time around, when the horn started to blow and the people started to shout, the walls came tumbling down. Oh, hallelujah. And a formidable foe was defeated that day because they trusted in God. And God delivered them. And God gave them victory. My, my, my. Hallelujah. What a powerful experience at Jericho. Can I just say this? What a great, wonderful, high, powerful Sunday night service. Woo! Where walls came down and victory was won and everybody shouting and dancing. Amen. Hallelujah. My, my. Somebody here today needs some walls to come down in your life. Somebody here today needs some walls to fall down in your life and God to give you some victory and some power that you've never experienced before. Somebody needs to have a Jericho experience here this morning. Amen. And here they are. What a powerful. Oh, we can look back, Brother Worse, and remember those times that God has done just that in our services, where we've seen people get deliverance and victory over all kinds of things and vices. And oh, God is great and greatly to be praised. And what a powerful experience happened in Jericho. And here they are, Elijah and Elisha, revisiting that place in that mighty move of God. And Elijah said, the Lord's taking me on to Jordan. Stay here at Jericho. But Elisha said, no, I'm thankful for Jericho. I'm thankful for what happened here. I remember them telling me about what took place here at Jericho, but if God's taking you on to Jordan, let me go with you. Ooh, there's a hunger. My. I want to go deeper. If there's more for me, I want to go. If there's a deeper place, I want to go. If the river is wider than what I'm experiencing right now, take me further out. If the river's deeper than what I know right now, lead me on out. I want to go further than where I've ever been. I'm thankful for Jericho's experience, but I don't want to stay stuck in Jericho if there's more in front of me to go to. Man, Elisha said, please, man of God, let me go with you to Jordan. And so they both went to Jordan and they stood there at Jordan. My. Hallelujah. And the man of God took his mantle. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. He took that mantle that was wrapped around him, and they're standing on the bank of the Jordan River at the place, hallelujah, where they were going to cross over. Elisha just didn't know it yet. And he took that mantle, Elijah did, and he smote the waters. And when he smote the waters, something happened that had happened many years before. Woo, God can do it again if he's ever done it before. I'm telling you, God can open blinded eyes if he's ever opened a blinded eye. God can make the lame walk if he's ever made the lame walk. God can make the dumb talk if he's ever made the dumb talk. God can fill multiple people all over the congregation with the Holy Ghost if he's ever done it before. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right. I'm telling you, if God ever did a miracle, he can do it again in 2020. And when that water had parted in that Jordan River for the children of Israel many years before, when the man of God, Elijah, smote it with his mantle, it happened again. I said it happened again. And he saw a miracle. Elisha saw a miracle that he never would have seen had he stayed in Jericho, or had he stayed in Bethel, or had he stayed in Gilgal. Thank God for all of those experiences. But there's more if you'll go, if you'll go, if you'll go. How deep do you want to go today? Are you satisfied in Gilgal? Are you satisfied at just the night that God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you got baptized in Jesus' name? And that's the experience I want to stay at. Are you satisfied with a special touch, a special service that happened a few years back? Are you still hungry? If there's more, I want to go. And they walked across on dry ground. You can be seated if you want. They walked across on dry ground. And Elijah looked at this young man, Elisha, when they got to the other side, and he said, what is it that you want? I've tried to shake you all day long, and you've stuck by my side. Whew, hallelujah. I've given you opportunity after opportunity. You know, some things may be just a test of God. Pay attention. Don't just quickly say yes. God may be testing you to see if you're satisfied where you're at. To see if you're hungry for more. Don't be quick to say it's the will of God. Amen. Just because it feels right. Oh, hallelujah. God may be saying, I want to see if you're hungry or not. Well, hallelujah. And the man of God said, I have tried and tried all day long to get rid of you, in a manner of speaking. And he said, you haven't left my side. What do you want? There's got to be something that you want. And he looked at the man of God and said something so powerful. You know, most of the time we say, I wish I could just be half the man that so-and-so is. But Elisha looked at his man of God, because he understood something about the spirit of his man of God. And what God, he had got a revelation somewhere along the line. He looked at his man of God and he said, Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. That's what I want. I've been there when the miracles happened and God used you to perform them. I've seen what you've done in the spirit, and oh, it gives me a hunger for even more.
I want to do more for God than I've ever done before. I want to see more. Oh, just give me, let me have a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah looked at this hungry young man and he said, oh, you've asked a hard thing, son. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you see me when I'm taken, it'll happen for you. And if you don't, it won't happen for you. And I promise you, amen, he stuck to him like glue after that. If that's all it takes for me to receive my request, then nope, you haven't been able to shake me all day long, but I'm going to promise you now, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. All right, I don't want to step out of line here. Come here. I just believe he locked arms with him. Maybe he didn't. Can I use my imagination? You ain't getting out of my sight now. Oh, hallelujah. If that's all it takes is for me to see you when you're taken, then, amen, you're not going to be taken without me seeing. Because I want what I've requested of God. I'm hungry for it. I'm telling you, amen, just read the miracles that God used Elijah to do. And we look at it and say, how powerful is that? My goodness, the things that God used Elijah to do just to be able to see those things. How wonderful that would be. But this young man said, oh, no, no, no. I want double of that. I want a double portion of that, of your spirit. I want to see more than you've ever seen, Elijah. I want to experience more than you've ever experienced. And the Bible says that as they two went on walking and talking, suddenly something happened, and out of heaven came a chariot and horses of fire, and it parted them both asunder, and Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it, and he was so overcome with emotion. And while Elijah was taken up into heaven, something came fluttering back down. The mantle of Elijah. Oh, hallelujah. And Elijah didn't just walk past it and leave it laying there, but oh, there was a keepsake. There was a memento of his man of God. And he reached down and he picked up that mantle. The last thing he had from the man of God, Elijah, and he took it with him. And he walked right back to the river, Brother Reed. And something that hadn't happened in years, but had just happened a little bit before, those waters parting. An experience that had not happened in so many years from when Israel had just come across. It had never happened again until Elijah, amen, smote the waters with that mantle, and it happened again. And now, because a young man has a hunger and a desire to go further and deeper, he walks back to the waters. And could it be that it could happen again twice in one day? Could it happen twice in one day when it hadn't happened in so many years? And he walks back to the River Jordan and he wraps the mantle of the man of God together. And he says, where? I don't know if it can happen for me like it did for my man of God, so I'm going to invoke my man of God. But where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the waters and the waters parted again. Woo! Oh, hallelujah, it happened again. It happened again. I'm telling you, if you're hungry for the things of God, the things of God can happen more often in your life. If you desire, nobody had desired it like this up until this point, but there's somebody that wants it. There's somebody that desires the depth in God that can be achieved. And the waters parted and Elisha walked back across. You know, understand, and I'm winding down. Understand that the Bible says there was 50 of the sons of the prophets that stood afar off and was watching when Elijah and Elisha were down at the riverbank. They were the sons of the prophets. They should have been right there with the man of God. But they stood afar off. There's always going to be those that stand afar off on the fringes and the edges and that just have an ankle-deep experience. They saw it happen, but they saw it from a distance. Do you want to just see it and experience it from a distance today? Or do you want to be right in the middle of what God's doing? Ooh, hallelujah. There were things they could have experienced, Pastor Worth, but they didn't experience it because Elisha said, I'm not staying here at the bank of Jordan. I'm going to cross on over with the man of God. And he watched the miraculous take place. And when he come back across, there was something different about him. And they all said, Spirit of Elijah is on Elisha now. I wonder if that could have been multiplied 50 times over had they wanted it. Had they not been content to stay in the fringes. But because a man said, I'm not content to stay at Gilgal or at Bethel or at Jericho or at Jordan, but take me deeper, take me further. Oh, I'm praying that there's a hunger that starts right now in this place today. I'm not saying you don't have a hunger already. I don't say that. I'm not condemning anybody today or putting anybody down, but I'm preaching today. This is somebody. Amen. There's a depth that we've never experienced before. My, my, my. Philippians 3:13 and 14, the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi, he's writing, and I believe I mentioned him earlier, but the Apostle Paul, all the things that he experienced, all the things that he went through, the miracles that happened in his life. And you look back and say, what a mighty man of God. Look what God did with him, through him. But there was something that he understood that said, brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got a hold of it yet. There's still something out there that I haven't experienced. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, I've seen, amen, the sick healed. Yes, I've been risen from the dead myself after I was stoned. Yes, I've been shipwrecked and God brought me through the sea. Yes, I've been snake bitten by a viper that I should have died from, but God kept me through it. Yes, I've suffered so many things and God brought me out. Yes, I've seen the miraculous. I've seen all of these things happen, but I ain't there yet. I haven't made it. There's a river that I can't cross over. There's a depth that I want to go to that I've never went to before. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just pushing those things in the back of my memory and reaching. I'm reaching. I'm hungry. Don't let me stay stuck in the past. I have a desire. Can we talk to God right now? How deep do you want to go today, my friend? Are you satisfied in the shallows? Are you satisfied in the knee-deep or the waist-deep experience? Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody right now. There is a depth that you have not attained that God wants you to experience. Oh, hallelujah. God wants you to go out into the river where you can no longer touch bottom and let His Spirit carry you. I'm telling you, we can come together, my friend, in the house of God and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you satisfied today? Are you content where you're at? Are you content in your relationship and your experience, or is there more? Brother Worse, I pray all the time, God, I want to see it. I've heard so much about so many things, but I want to see it. In my generation, I want to see it. You know, the children of God, the children of Israel had heard, been passed down through the generations. God parted those waters right there. You see that pile of stones? It's where it happened. But they hadn't seen it for themselves.
And there was a young man by the name of Elisha that stood by, a man of God, Elijah, and got to see it happen. And he walked right back to it and said, I want to see it again. Hungry for it. When's the last time you've been in prayer and said, God, I want to see those things happen? Oh, I thank God for the services that we've had and that we have. I thank God for His moving. But I'm not content. I stand here before you today saying I'm not satisfied when I hear the testimonies that my pastor tells of the miracles that God has done and the things that God has performed. I want to see it. I'm hungry for it. God, I don't want to just stay at a good Sunday night service experience and just always looking back and saying how great it was. No. Take me even deeper. The moment that you become satisfied and content, that's the moment you'll stay where you're at. But you won't stay where you're at. You'll go back. Hallelujah. I don't want to go back. Take me, Jesus, into a depth that I've never been before. Let's pray all over this congregation. Can we pray right now? If you want to come to the front and pray, come to the front and pray. Whatever you feel right now, whatever you're comfortable doing, but just would you talk to God? Would you just talk to God? Would you reach out to Him today? Is there an Elisha in this house today that would say, God, I'm not satisfied and ankle deep where I've been? Not satisfied in the knee deep or in the waist deep where I've been. There's a river that I cannot cross over. There's a depth that's awaiting me that I want to go to. I want to feel the river as it carries me. And I'm no longer touching bottom. I'm no longer in control. But the Spirit is carrying me to a place I've never been before. I've stood at the bank and I've watched for so long. I've stood in the shallows and waited around so long, and I've watched others as they were carried by the river. Watched others as they went under into the depths. But I've been fearful, God. I've had my doubts. I've had my fears. I've had fear of the unknown. I've had the fear of losing control. But God, today, come on, somebody needs to pray this. Today, God, I want to give up and let the river take me. This river of life, this Holy Ghost experience, oh, the thing that will be my healing, the thing that will be my blessing, the thing that will be my help, my strength. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, take us to that place. Take us to that place. Take us to that place. I'm not going to beg anybody today. I refuse to do that this morning. I've preached what I feel the Holy Ghost is wanting to say to somebody today. And if you're hungry, you'll be receptive to it. If not, you'll be content to stay in the shallows.